Paul Gallant and Seth Payne. No Mike Meltzer. He's on vacation. Mad Radio on a Friday. The Houston Rockets, I'm guessing, did not do the traditional exit interviews that we have seen them do, but they did last night on AT&T Sportsnet Southwest have a sit-down where Bill Worrell, the general of the Worrell Army, for those who know, it's an army where people fight against referees for truth and for justice and to make things more advantageous for the Houston Rockets. He interviewed at the same time Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni. Now, interesting, just the dynamic of that, Seth, is that those two are sitting with one another for an exit interview. That means that they are running those two back definitively this coming season.
Oh, okay. You know what? I'm a dullard. I didn't even try to make that connection in my mind. That if you felt like there was a chance that one of them was gone, you wouldn't roll them both out there together,
right?
Whoever the powers that be were. So maybe in this, and especially maybe as a explicit show of strength, they wanted to do this. It wasn't even like that they didn't prevent it. They said, "Hey, let's get both these guys out there together, so everybody knows that we're united and we can present a solid front."
It really felt that way when you actually watched it. Now, Daryl Morey is the guy that I think, if you had to pick between Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni, at least prior to this thing last night, Daryl Morey was the guy that's definitively safe going forward.
Yeah.
No matter how you feel about him, and I know there are some people that think that he gets too much of a free pass in this city, but I honestly look at him and I'm like, they had Luis Scola and they have now James Harden and Chris Paul. I'm totally fine with Daryl Morey as the general manager. I think he has done, for the most part, a pretty good job. This offseason, not so much, but he did a good job in the buyout market, blah, 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 blah. Mike D'Antoni, yeah, you're not 100% sure, especially when you heard some of those quotes from Tillman Fertitta about being more cutthroat and things of that nature. Anyway, during the sit-down with Bill Worrell on AT&T Sportsnet Southwest, Daryl Morey defended Mike D'Antoni with D'Antoni sitting right next to him.
I think Coach does an incredible job optimizing for the players he has. You look at, you know, we play very different from those Phoenix teams, but that's because he's picking what's best for the players that he's got. And I would say, in terms of winning the title, if you win 60 games, you can win the title. In fact, most of those teams do go on to win the title. We won 65 last year. This year, when we were healthy and had our core, we were about a 60-win quality team. We were 21-4 down the stretch or something like that. So that you for sure can win the title. Now, do you do it? I mean, that comes down to, do you execute luck, like you said earlier? And so far, you know, we've been a little short on both those things.
A little short on the luck side of things. I want to rewind a little bit to a point earlier in that clip, Seth. When he says, talks about the 60-win season, and he talks about the finish to the season, do you think the Rockets fans want to hear that? Do you think that the average Rocket fan wants to hear about the really good things about the last 2 years, but instead of the commonality of the last two seasons losing to the Warriors?
No, but I think there's nothing that Daryl Morey can do about that. There's just in that stage of grief where no matter what anybody says positive, it's not going to be received well by certain people. It's pushed me over to being on the very pro Daryl Morey, Mike D'Antoni side of things, just because I feel like there's a lot of irrational skepticism and anger towards the Rockets right now. And it's just convenient to say, hey, the Golden State Warriors, who, by the way, again, did you watch them last night? They beat the Blazers when they were playing their C-minus game.
Like they almost lost to Seth Curry.
The Warriors had a C-minus effort, and they won. And Seth Curry almost owned his big brother, and they won. And it's just so convenient to forget that when you want to torch Daryl Morey or Mike D'Antoni. But I think everything that Daryl Morey brings up, sometimes that rings hollow with people because you don't want to hear, well, hey, we should have been good enough. Hey, well, look, 60 wins is all it takes. That doesn't really grab anybody. But Daryl Morey's not that guy. His very strength is the thing that's also going to not necessarily make him the best salesman. You know, this is why their pitches for free agents until they started to figure it out were kind of meek, because it was Daryl Morey, the IT guy, trying to be Daryl Morey, the sales guy. And that's not him. Like, that's not who you want him to be. So, yeah, are people a little upset by it? Maybe. I don't know. But the proof is in the pudding. The guy has put out these teams year after year after year, and they don't have a championship to show for it. But it's not that I don't care. It's that I keep my perspective and look around the NBA and look at how hard it is to do what the Rockets have been able to do.
Right. And I even think that you do have to keep that in mind. But at the same time, I think that it is fair for some who are frustrated with the idea of MVPs and 60-win seasons and great finishes down the stretch after an awful start to the year, mm-hmm. I understand their frustration too, because I want to hear a realistic proposal to beating Golden State, no matter how unrealistic it is. And it probably is unrealistic. I mean, Kevin Durant's not playing. He's not going to play Game 3. He's not going to play Game 4 based off of news that we heard last night. Who knows if he plays the rest of these playoffs, honestly, given it sounds like DeMarcus Cousins might be more ready to play than Kevin Durant, like the rest of these playoffs.
I think it was yesterday or a couple days ago where I was saying I don't really care anymore if the Warriors win or lose. I just don't care. Now that I'm watching them do this without Kevin Durant, and I'm reminded of what it's probably going to look like next year because Klay Thompson's not leaving. And now I'm getting freaked out again. Now I'm getting a little bit freaked out. Their record, what's their record now with Steph
4-0.
Curry? When Steph Curry plays, but Kevin Durant doesn't play. Oh. I think it's up to 28-1 now.
Really?
It's something ridiculous. Ridiculous. Somebody text in 713-572-4610.
Wow, that is depressing. He is Seth Payne. I'm Paul Gallant. It's Mad Radio Sports Radio 610 on a Friday. I've always wondered about the saying, by the way, proof is in the pudding. Like, why would you put proof in the pudding? Why? You're trying to hide a crime scene. You're
gonna put it in pudding? Like the proof is in the pudding. I think it's usually like if the recipe is good, the pudding will be good. If you got a good recipe for pudding and you taste the pudding and it's good, yeah.
But the recipe for pudding I know is you put a bunch of powder in milk and you leave it in the fridge.
You're thinking like if somebody hit a murder weapon in
Yeah. You know what? It might have the consistency to hide something like that. Mike D'Antoni was asked about something else that I think frustrates a lot of Rockets fans. And this one, I'm not 100% sure how to feel about this because I look at the Rockets and I watch the isolation, and there are times where I'm like, they could jazz this isolation up a little bit more than it is, because sometimes it really does feel like they're just rolling the ball out on the court. We have James Harden. James Harden's going to figure it out. Mike D'Antoni talked about the tricky nature of what the Rockets do next, given their style of basketball.
Yeah, and you just got to be careful about taking a step back. So, oh, let's change everything. Well, we're right there. And, you know, maybe we can just add a little piece, or maybe we just get a little bit better. Maybe our shot quality can be a little bit better. Maybe we'll hit big shots in big moments. You know, those are the things you got to improve on. And you got to stay healthy, and you got to improve certain guys and make sure we don't take a step backwards. Because once you do that, you know, teams do that. Oh, let's go this route. Well, then you don't hear from them for the next 20 years. And you got to be careful, because it's real easy when you're down in the dumps. And I'm sure all our fans are down in dumps. Oh, let's change this, let's change that, let's change this. Well, at the end of the day, it's like, whoa. Uh-oh.
Mike's making the same point I was, which is, you know, you look at recent history, the teams that do take that step back, that were very good, you don't hear from them for a long time.
I love that part. Whoa. Uh-oh. I love D'Antoni. I love that man.
Okay, in terms of would they switch everything up? Would they go back to more pick and roll? I think the one thing that always comes up, especially from old school basketball guys, which and it's fair, is all right. They got to take more mid-range. They get mid-range twos. They gotta take more. I think that there is something to be said, not for necessarily, you know, raining down a deluge of mid-range twos, but something to be said just for guys at least looking for and taking it when it's open and it's there. Because Daryl Morey was the first one. He told us on Mad Radio in the midday a few years ago. He said, "Hey, we love mid-range twos. A free throw is a mid-range two. It's a very, very efficient shot because it's wide open and you've got all kinds of time. So, like, we love mid-range twos as long as they're really good shots." You do wonder sometimes just within the flow of the game when it could be more of a part of the fabric of the offense. So that when you get into the playoffs, you get more of a sense that, hey, they can attack from anywhere. And that's why I was a little disappointed that the two teams the Rockets faced in the playoffs were able to limit James Harden's floater. That was going to be the key to the playoffs this year. One of them was that, okay, when they pack the paint and they take away the lob to Capella, at least he got that floater. But the problem is Gobert and Draymond Green were really good at limiting that.
Yeah, they really were. And look, you got to give some players on Golden State more credit than you might want to admit. Based off of last night, There are a couple of things I have to admit. I know these aren't going to be popular opinions. I really like watching Steph Curry play basketball without Kevin Durant. Yeah. Without Kevin Durant.
Oh, no, exactly. No, you saw that last night and you've seen it. It looks a little bit more like the old ball movement Golden State Warriors, with maybe even less of the illegal screenage that made them so good for so long. You know what I think it is? I think it's more that now the NBA just allows everybody to do it. They only used to allow the Warriors to do it. Now they allow everybody to do it. But you're right. It's fun to watch when it's not your team they're playing against.
Yes.
It's like kind of like watching the Spurs you know, back before the Warriors took over for the Spurs, when you were watching the Spurs in the mid-2000s, it was the same way. It's just pretty to watch.
The other guy I like, Kevin Looney. I thought that guy stunk going into this past series. I was like, oh, this guy, look at him. Yeah. He looks like a young deer that like went through a growth spurt but never actually figured out coordination. Yet here he is, always in the right place at the right time, with awkward like tip-ins on missed shots, rebounds in critical moments. The guy is a winning basketball player. Sorry to throw the cliche out there, but that's what he is.
This is what though you have with the Warriors. If you look at their roster. Last week, Landry had made a point about, hey, everybody thinks it's just going to be back to the 2015 Warriors because Durant is out. And I agreed with him at first, but then I went back and I looked at the roster from 2015, and there are like six key guys on that team right now that were there. I'm not going to count Bogut. So at least five key guys that were there. Looney's one of them. Looney's a young dude getting like 5 minutes a game. He's been in that system the whole time. And you juxtapose that up next to the Rockets and look at how many of their key guys, how long have they been with the team, the average tenure is a whole lot less. So there is something about the Warriors just being able to click all these guys in, and you lose Durant, and you know what? They just go back to playing the way that that all these guys had been 5 years ago.
That is Seth Payne, original Houston Texan. I am Paul Gallant. This is Mad Radio Sports Radio 610. No Mike Meltzer this morning. Up next, your morning headlines. Big series for the Houston Astros this weekend in Boston against the Red Sox. How do they best extract revenge from the Red Sox after losing to them in the ALCS last year? Let's get some texts in. 713-572-4610. The funnier, the better. It's Mad Radio on a Friday. Don't go anywhere.